Hi, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live. Coming at you after a depressing 4-0 loss to the Padres. Excuse me, to the Pirates. Oof, it's been one of those days. One of those nights, too, for Texas Rangers baseball. 4-0, final score. This is one of the fastest games the Rangers have played all season. It's got to be close. Got to be one of the fastest games the Rangers have probably played all year that I can remember. My goodness, I thought that was going to get over in an hour and 45 minutes at the pace that they were going. I should say at the pace the Rangers were just getting mowed down tonight. Oof. Now, on the positive side, we had a very excellent start from Cody Bradford. 100%. One of his best starts, I would say, of the season. 7 innings, 3 earned runs. I mean, and look, we're going to get into this in a little bit, but could we have missed out on any more defensive opportunities in the top of the fourth inning out in the outfield? I know maybe I'm going to get some pushback, but sure seemed like we left some plays on the table out in the outfield in the fourth inning. We're going to get into all that in just a little bit. Y'all know here at Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers and especially the Rangers during baseball season. Thank you so much for choosing Right on Rangers for your Texas Rangers content. A lot of options out there. We appreciate the support. And we are going to get into everything here in a little bit. The scoring, and there wasn't much of it, especially from the Rangers side. Some of the key moments, there were a few of those. And, of course, we'll try and highlight some of the bright spots while taking your comments and questions along the way. Please feel free to drop those in the chat as we go, and we will get to them as soon as we possibly can. Well, hope you're having a good night. I know that that Rangers game probably didn't help, but let's just go ahead and talk this one out. Let's have a little therapy session, as we like to say here right on Rangers after losses like this. So Cody Bradford, let's start with positive. Cody Bradford had an outstanding game tonight. I really don't think there's any other way that you can spin it. I'm sure that he'd love to have a little bit of that fourth inning back. There were some guys that absolutely squared up some baseballs against him in that fourth, but nevertheless, top of the fourth inning, we got to go right there. Kiner Falefa, former Ranger, singles to left. We get 2 strikeouts, Reynolds and Bart back-to-back. Then we have a weird check swing double by Connor Joe. I mean, dude couldn't have gotten luckier on that hit down the line that ends up being a ground rule double. And then Brian De La Cruz hits a 101-mile-an-hour scorcher to center field. Now, guys, if I'm being just totally no filter here, I think that ball that De La Cruz hit is one that he should have caught. Leody out in center. It's a tough play, but I think Leody, first of all, takes kind of a weird sideways route to the ball. And then the dive is kind of this weird in-between slide thing. Just clear indecision there from Leody. I feel like even with the poor route that he took to the ball, kind of going too far to the side instead of coming in and at that angle, you have that indecision where he probably could have gone full out extension and probably caught that baseball. I mean, the ball lands 2 feet in front of him with the weird slide thing that he tried to do at the end after a poor route to the ball combined with indecision. I think Leody's got to make that play out in center field. And I know we're hard on Leody on the show. I know there's going to be some Leody apologists who are saying it was squared up. It was not a catchable baseball. That's not how I feel. And then Adolis, really, I felt like Doley had 2 plays tonight that he could have made. But the play that happens immediately afterwards on the O'Neill Cruz triple, if you watch Doley and the route he took, he's slowing up. He's slowing down. He's going again. And I know that the wall is right there, but that is a baseball that could have been caught. So back-to-back plays out in the outfield in the fourth inning, the Rangers could have made. I think you're a major leaguer. Adolis Garcia, you're a gold glover. Yeah, those aren't plays that a little leaguer is probably going to make, but you're a major league baseball player. I think that those plays have to be made out there. I really think that those cost the Rangers the game. Of course, we're going to light up the offense here in a little bit. They deserve it. No runs. So I know that there might be some people saying the offense scored 0 runs. Yeah, I agree, but you never know how things like this change the momentum in a game. Up to that point, Bradford had been cruising. In fact, he threw three perfect innings. Bradford was cruising up to that fourth inning. You never know how plays like that change the complexion. Would it have been an outstanding play from Leody? Yes. Would it have been an outstanding play from Garcia, back-to-back plays? Yes. But those plays have to be made. They're just too makeable for guys of those players' calibers. And Leody, Garcia, you watch both of their routes to those baseballs in the fourth inning that directly led to runs. And I say to myself, that's the difference in the game. Beyond the fact that the offense is terrible, but that's another segment. Let me get to comments here. I know I've been going on for a little while. Let me get to them. Baseball Network, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. Tonight wasn't great, but Bradford did awesome. I totally agree. Bradford was awesome tonight. He continues to dominate at Globe Life Field. I believe he takes his first loss of the season at Globe Life. I think he was 3-0 with a sub-3 ERA at Globe Life. That might have gone up a little bit after tonight. Don't feel he deserves it, but Bradford was awesome. Adolis doing his best impression of Nelly Cruz. John, you didn't go there. Oh, you didn't go there. But look, I'd be lying if I didn't say I was thinking the same exact thing. You could put those two plays side by side and probably feel the exact same way. Nelly Cruz in 11 in the World Series and Doley in that fourth inning. It totally reminded me of it. Kind of weird drifting, start, stop. Am I going to go all out? Am I not? Am I going to crash into the wall? Am I going to kind of dog this one a little bit? Don't want to get hurt. I don't know. Nelly's, I don't get at all, dude. It's the World Series and you catch the ball. If you separate your shoulder, who freaking cares? So to me, I don't understand the Nelly one at all. You got to go full speed and catch a baseball to win the World Series. Who gives a crap if you separate the shoulder? You got all offseason. You won a World Series. I mean, I don't know. That's worst case scenario, but that's how I've always felt about the Nelly Cruz play out in right field. Why on earth you're not willing to run as hard as you can into a wall with literally no gameplay left if you just catch it? The season's over. You win the World Series. Don't even get me started. But John had the same exact thought. It's pretty carbon copy. Doley should have caught that ball. It should have been 2-0 at worst, leaving the fourth inning. Let me keep going here. I'll try and stay on track. There's a few comments that are taking us a couple different directions. I'm going to try and stay on track here. I totally agree. I feel like I got to take some responsibility here, y'all, because I pumped up the Rangers last night and how they were catching Mitch Keller at exactly the right time. He had just given up a bunch of runs to the Dodgers and the Padres. I mean, shame on me. We're obviously nowhere close to the Dodgers and Padres offensive level, offensive caliber, but shame on me. I mean, seriously. I should have known that the Rangers were going to make Mitch Keller look like a bona fide $25, $30 million a year pitcher. I mean, seriously, dude looked like a Cy Young candidate today. John's words, not mine. He did. That is what the Rangers love to do to struggling and inexperienced rookie pitchers. We love to make them look like they need to be getting paid tens of millions of dollars. Seriously. Yeah, Cody was fantastic. Errors just killed him. Both those plays should have been outs. Perfect summation. Natalie, what's up? Thanks for the comment. Natalie says, I read someone from the Fan radio station in Texas, if you're watching from out of state, out of DFW, that this is Garcia's farewell tour. Are the Rangers planning on going after a right fielder? If so, who would they go after? Thanks for the comment. So I don't think it is necessarily his farewell tour. Now, is CY potentially going to be doing some shopping in the offseason? I would. What can you get for Doley? I don't know. I really don't know what the market is going to be for him. A strong 2024 finish would go a long way, but I don't know how many teams are really going to be willing to take a flyer on Garcia with the struggles that he's had this year. I mean, look, let me rephrase that. I don't know how many teams are going to be willing to give up any kind of capital in the minor leagues for a guy like Doley. Would somebody take a flyer on him? Absolutely, because there's a lot to like about Adolis Garcia. Now, for free agents in the offseason, I would have to check that out and look it up. I got to be honest, guys. I haven't done any kind of deep dive into free agency yet, but I'll look up. I'll get on SpoTrack here, and let me see if I can find out some MLB free agent outfielders for you, and I'll just keep moving in the show, but hopefully I can get you guys a few names. So 2025 MLB free agents. All right, let's go to outfield and let's just see what we get here. So Juan Soto, how about we go get Juan Soto, guys? You like that? Juan Soto, anybody? Maybe Juan Soto to replace? Hey, I know it might be a pipe dream, but that would be nice. But let's take a look here. So Cody Bellinger has an opt-out. I don't think he's probably going to take that. It's $27.5 million he'd be leaving on the table. I can't see Belly taking that opt-out. Let's see. Teoscar Hernandez for the Dodgers, unrestricted free agent. That could potentially be a guy. Conforto might be more in the price range. Michael Conforto for the Giants. I don't know if he's your right fielder, but we're just talking outfielders here. Let's see. Haniger has a player option with Seattle. Marcelo Zuna has a club option. I'm sure they'll probably exercise that in Atlanta. Santander is an unrestricted free agent. Might that be a guy? Santander from Baltimore, might that be a guy the Rangers potentially could look at going out to get? I do really like Anthony Santander. I'm a fan. As I look up and down this list, there's not a lot of other guys. Max Kepler, I think, is an interesting player, maybe a value player. He is an unrestricted free agent, plays with the Twins, kind of a platoon outfielder right now, but he plays a decent right field, I think, for Minnesota. Again, not somebody that plays every day per se, and the Rangers already kind of have the lefty outfielder with Evan Carter. I do really like Max Kepler. I just think he's a solid player, but I just think with Evan Carter being the lefty platoon guy already, probably not going to bring in Kep. Hunter Renfroe, player option for $7.5 million with the Royals. Tyler O'Neill for Boston, not a right fielder, but he could be an interesting one. Austin Slater for the Orioles is another guy. I don't know. We start getting into some minutiae here after a little while, but I think those would be some of the big names. Those would be some of the big names for me that I would be interested in the Rangers going out to get. I really don't think Juan Soto is a reasonable, even a reasonable possibility, but I do think some of those other guys that I named, probably from Conforto down, would be potential guys that the Rangers could afford and go after. Let me keep going. Aaron, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. Man, I'm sorry they couldn't put on a better show for you. Aaron was at the game tonight. Man, I would kill to go to a Rangers game, but I can't say I would have killed to go to this one. This would have been one I probably would have left after that Corey Seager. I guess it wasn't an error, right? But I really feel like for a guy making $30-plus million a year in the ninth inning, that's a play Seager has to make. It didn't end up mattering. I mean, who cares? It was already 3-0. The Rangers had done nothing all game offensively, but Corey Seager really would have liked for him to have made that play. It's a play you got to make if you're making 30 plus mil a year. Just my two cents there. But no, he did not deserve the three runs. I really do agree with this comment with the back end. It was just very much half effort tonight. I didn't feel like anybody played with a ton of life. Bradford aside, I think Bradford had a really nice game. Felt very ho-hum out there tonight beyond Cody Bradford, which is a tough feeling. It's a really tough feeling. And, you know, I know it's tough in baseball. Baseball, you do have to keep the emotions in check. You don't really want to see guys, you know, beating on the Gatorade jugs and putting their mess and mark all over the dugout. I mean, I'm not a big fan of that. There's a time for it. But again, it's hard to quantify and measure in baseball the emotion, the heart, you know, all that stuff. But just the feel, the vibe of the game was not super awesome tonight, I got to say. Not super awesome. Yeah, today was just an off day for Langford. Tomorrow, I believe Rangers are playing the day game, right? And so I think what they were saying on the broadcast, granted, guys, I've told you, I watched the broadcast on very low volume. If I am watching with any kind of sound, I'm going radio guys, Nadell, Sandler, all those dudes. But I do think they mentioned, you know, Wyatt Langford maybe needing just a day of rest. They don't want to run guys into the ground. This is what they said on the TV broadcast, at least. You know, I think Emily Jones was reporting tonight, and she basically, I think, was saying in so many words, they're trying not to run guys into the ground. They understand the context of the season, meaning it's not very likely that they're going to make the playoffs. So why tax guys and make guys go all out, give them some breathers down the road, that kind of thing. Now, we actually talked last night about Wyatt Langford's struggles. Wyatt Langford is hitting under 200. 100, that would be really bad, the last 30 games. He's hitting under 200 in his last 30 games. I think it was in the 180s, 190s, something like that. So Wyatt is not going well right now. So I think the rest thing is kind of a nice way of saying the dude needed a day. He's sitting under 200 in his last 30 games. So whether or not he was ailing, I'd expect we probably see him back tomorrow. I would be really surprised if we didn't. Update on the 110-degree practice. Nice. At least y'all got inside, man. That is brutal. 110-degree heat, wearing all them football pads. Like I said, a football coach myself, I feel your pain. I feel your pain, but I'm glad y'all got a little inside time, no doubt. Yeah, this is a great comment here. I mean, you know, when you're in the major leagues, it's a different level of expectation. And I know that some people like to make excuses when the big leaguers can't make the slightly difficult plays. It was a hard ball. It's a tough one. It's in the gap. It's a hit 105 miles an hour. It's a tough play, right? That is what just Rangers, ruthless apologists, don't ever say anything negative about the Rangers type fans will say to you. The reality is Leody and Adolis have to make those plays in the fourth inning. And I think if you're being honest, I think if they're being honest, they would say the same thing. I could have done a better route, could have had a better route to the ball, could have ran harder back on the baseball, was feeling a little bit unsure. I'm sure if you got those guys in just an honest moment, they would tell you exactly the same thing. You know, Bochy is going to say, well, that's a tough play. You know, I trust those guys that, you know, that's a tough play. You know, that's just like that. How's my Bochy, by the way? Did I do okay on that? I don't get to listen to him all the time, but, you know, that is almost carbon copy, I feel like, what he says after the game when there's a boneheaded play in the outfield that could have been made. It's 100% what he'll say to back up the guys. I totally get it. You want to have your guys' backs. He's lit up a few guys, I think, this year. You know, that he said a few times, I think in Colorado, if you remember, Duran was playing left field, kind of miffed an easy pop-up. I think Bochy kind of lit it up a little bit back then. He picks his spots, but yeah, I'm definitely feeling like they probably took it easy on those guys. You know, tough catches, tough plays. You know, I mean, I really do feel like he's probably going to be saying exactly those words if you go back and watch the post game. John, appreciate that, man. Hey, I tried. It's a lot of watching Rangers post game. I don't get to see them all, but I appreciate that. Thanks for the comment as well. Hey, I do my best here. I do my best. Thank you. Yeah, I don't know if the back is still bothering. I'm assuming you're talking about Wyatt Langford. I know his back was kind of sore or something a couple weeks ago. They took him out for the same reason. I'm not really sure. Not really sure. I think that they're going to probably go with giving him rest in lieu of saying the dude's been sucking over the past 30 games since hitting under 200, right? Rather than put him on blast, I think they're going to opt for just needed a little rest, don't want to run anybody into the ground, that kind of thing. So that's my feel on it. I think we're going to see Wyatt Langford in the lineup tomorrow. But look, just to accentuate the positive here, because I know it's easy to focus on the lineup, how terrible it was. I think you have to take away from this game, because we are starting to shift our focus to 2025. I think you have to at this point. The chances of the Rangers making the playoffs, 0.1, 0.2, not completely out of it. And as some people have pointed out, Aaron, I think you pointed this out, Vegas and FanGraphs odds, they have to put 0.1 or 0.2 because mathematically the Rangers haven't been eliminated yet. But it's all but certain Rangers won't be playing in October, which sucks, but I've kind of come to terms with that. And now I start really looking forward to 2025 and bringing this full circle. I feel like you have got to feel good about the Rangers rotation in 25. DeGrom is a question mark. We got to see how DeGrom responds on Thursday, his first minor league rehab start, and how he pitches for the Rangers this rest of the season. I did gather that DeGrom is going to be making about 4 rehab starts. I think I saw that correctly. So if you do the math on that, probably he is about 3 weeks away at this point. So maybe we see him mid-September and he gets 2 or 3 starts in. That's kind of what it seems like we're going towards. I mean, that's at least the math that I do in my head. Probably 3 starts for DeGrom, and one of them is probably going to be very tapered in terms of a pitch count. So hopefully DeGrom finishes 2024 with some things to build on for 25. But let's assume DeGrom healthy, throwing well at the end of the season, offseason program goes great. Let's assume all that's true. And let's also assume that Nate Eovaldi comes back. I know there was an article that came out a couple of days ago. Evo basically makes the comment, and I don't think you need to read in between the lines, but I think that everybody's going to, especially the media at this point. He basically said in so many words that he wants to be here as long as the team still cares about winning. Again, those aren't Evo's exact words. I did some ad-libbing there, but Evo basically comes out and says a few days ago, he wants to be in Texas so long as the vision is still winning and the Rangers are actively trying to do that. I don't know why you wouldn't. I don't know why the Rangers weren't more aggressive this year despite the Bally stuff. I know that that's the excuse. I still think for a multi-billionaire owner paying a few guys a $10 million here, $15 million here, if you really care and love your team. Guys, I can tell you right now, if I was worth $5 billion, I would be paying $15 million to get a player on the team that could help contribute. I'd pay $15 million to go out and get somebody if I'm worth $5 billion. I don't know whatever Davis is worth. I don't know if it's quite five, but you get my point. What's $15 million to go get a nice, solid veteran player that can hit in the lineup when I have a chance to go back to the World Series and make up that $15 million like it's nothing? So I don't get it. I think it was a very weak move to not go out and get more players in the offseason, but we're past that now. Now we move to the 2024-25 offseason. I think the Rangers have to go out and be competitive, but going back to Evo, I think as long as the Rangers can retain him, you've got Evo, you've got DeGrom, you've got Tyler Mahle. We're going to talk Mahle in a little bit. He goes back to the IL today. You've got John Gray, and you've got Cody Bradford. Now, the injuries are concerning to me. The John Gray injury, he suffered several of them in his tenure with the Rangers. The John Gray injuries concern me. The Mahle injuries concern me. Cody Bradford, not exactly the epitome of health. So, Evo, the same thing. DeGrom, the same thing. So this, to me, the rotation for next year comes off very feast or famine, very hold your breath, but very, very good on paper. Just on paper, we're not taking into account injuries, wear and tear, stamina, durability. We're not taking into account anything. We're just saying on paper, right? The skills, the attributes, the potential. The Rangers have one of the best rotations going into 2025. Again, DeGrom, Evo, Bradford, Gray, Mahle. Who knows? I don't think Heaney comes back. I'd love to have Heendog back, but I just don't think it's going to happen. So I think Rangers go into 25 with an outstanding rotation. I think that the priority has to be going to get bats. I don't think that you can count on a few guys bouncing back and we're going to be back in the World Series like it's nothing. I just don't see that happening. Now, I'll keep going. Let me go to TikTok comments and make sure that I'm not leaving anybody out. I'm trying to do a better job. There's a lot to balance here, y'all, but we're trying our best. So what we got here, let me check this out. A couple people on TikTok talking about the luxury tax. Yeah, I know that they were just under like the second tier of the luxury tax, if I'm not mistaken. Look, I get it. I mean, who doesn't want to save money where you can? I just think that the opportunity, if you were going to spend money, was to defend your World Series title. Look, if it all went to crap anyways this year and you overspent a little bit, so be it, in my opinion. But at least go out and try and defend your World Series title. That's what I say. I think that they missed an opportunity to do that. I wish that they would have been willing to spend a little bit more money. Sorry, TikTok, giving you guys motion sickness. But I wish that they would have done that. I wish that they would have gone out, gotten a little bit more bang in the lineup, if you know what I mean, and just went for it. But they decided not to. And now we are where we are, out of the playoffs, 10-plus games under 500. It is what it is. It's unfortunate. But I think that the Rangers this offseason have to go out, have to be competitive in the free agency market. I just will be so incredibly disgusted if we try and do the same exact thing that we did this past offseason. I think that they owe it to the fans. I think that even to some of the players like Evo, Seager, Semien, I know those guys are getting paid pretty pennies, but go out and try and field the winning ball club. What happened in the offseason is we rested on the championship last offseason. We admired the trophy, and the ownership was not as focused on the future, not as focused on 2024. The Bally excuse is convenient. The reality is, what's $15 million to somebody who's a multi-billionaire? I can only tell you what I would do in the same position. I just won a World Series. The Rangers make a ton of money from winning the World Series. They do. They make tons of money from winning the World Series. You can't tell me that you can't take $15 million from all that money that you won, that you got from winning the World Series, and apply it to a solid veteran guy that could have helped out this struggling, ugly lineup at times. So I really think that the Rangers need to stop worrying and counting on the guys that they have right now getting better, rebounding, having a good 2025. Go get guys outside of the organization. You don't have to revamp the entire lineup, but at least go get two or three solid veteran guys. I don't think we're getting Juan Soto, but I do think we have a shot to go get some of those guys that I named that would be very, very helpful to the ball club. Again, I think about a Santander. Santander is going to want probably 15 mil minimum, maybe into the 20s. I don't know if the Rangers are going to be willing to spend on a guy like Santander. I would love for him to be a part of the team, though. Lefty power bat, right fielder, would absolutely love to have a guy like Santander. I hope the Rangers go out and competitively go for some of these guys. Again, to name some other guys that I wouldn't mind playing, I wouldn't mind seeing. I like Conforto. I don't think he's a right fielder, but I like Conforto, always have. Hernandez is maybe what I would say a little bit too Dolly-esque for me. Teoscar Hernandez for the Dodgers. A little too much pop or whiff, if that makes sense. Right now, that's what Dolly is, pop or whiff. And I would really like to see us go a little bit away from those type of guys. Santander, to me, is probably the guy that I would want more than anybody else in this outfield class, unless Juan Soto is available and the Rangers are opening up the purse strings for him. But I doubt it. Let me keep going here. Natalie says, will Leiter or Rocker be up? Doubt Rocker. Maybe Leiter. It depends on how Leiter does in the call-ups in September. And I think it depends on how he does in spring training next season. Rocker, I could maybe see getting a spring training invite. I would be really shocked if Rocker opened up on the opening day roster. That would be pretty surprising to me. I think he would really have to be elite all the way through until spring training ends next year for them to even think about starting him on opening day. We'll see. Hey, I'm glad some Rangers fans are keeping the faith. We ain't out of it till we're out of it. I'm with you. I can go there with you. I will not completely give up until the elimination number is, the magic number is down to that zero. I'm not going to give up, but we'll see what happens. I don't think the Rangers are going to be playing baseball in October, but I surely hope to be wrong. This comment says, you make an outstanding point. I think a lot of Rangers fans think that the lineup that we have now will excel next year. Basically, what I'm saying is we need to make some changes. Yeah, I don't know what the fans are thinking. I actually think most fans probably see it my way. I think there might be a minority of fans that don't want to see any outside people come into this lineup or organization. I think most people probably want to see some fresh blood after this pitiful offensive season. Now, my comment is more the ownership. I don't know CY, what his true thoughts are. I can't imagine CY loves this lineup. I think he's handcuffed by the spending that the ownership allows him or doesn't allow him to do. But my point is, I just think that the ownership rested too much on the fact that they had just won the World Series. They admired the trophy a little too much this offseason, instead of being interested in putting money and kind of like, letting it ride on the Rangers. For me, that's what I would have done as an owner. Let it ride. Don't use this as an opportunity to penny pinch. Okay, yeah, great. We just won the World Series. Influx of cash. Let me go ahead and make sure that I'm padding my accounts. Guys, I'm rolling it. I am letting it ride. And I am trying to see if we can do something special that hasn't been done since the late 90s, early 2000s Yankees. I'm trying to see if I can get in the history books. Because again, what's 10, 15 million to me as a multi-billionaire? I can only tell you what I'd do if I was in the shoes of Davis and that front office. And I would really like to see this offseason be different. I fear that it won't be. I fear that the Rangers will not do a whole lot different this offseason. I greatly hope to be wrong. But it doesn't feel like the vibe is, this is going to be a spending offseason. You haven't heard anything like that. You got to feel like the Rangers are going to go improve. But you just wonder, is it going to be these stupid little, you know, veteran one-year contracts? I mean, look, we've lucked out with some of them. Lorenzen, Urania, Robertson, Yates. You can definitely get lucky with some of these one-year, you know, 30-something, older 30-something veteran dudes. But I'm talking about a multi-year contract. Are we going to go give somebody a multi-year contract this offseason? I don't know how great I feel about the prospects of that. I am too excited to see what Langford does next year. I do think that he is going to continue to get better. I'm just not sitting there counting on it. Like, can we all be real? We counted on the front office, CY, counted on Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford being really good this year. Not just average. We counted on Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford being really good this year. And they couldn't have been more wrong. And that's a big reason why the Rangers are where they are. Add it to the list of many, because I feel like I say that every night. But that is what happened. We counted on Evan Carter is going to be a 275, 300 hitter up at the top of the lineup, playing every day. And Wyatt Langford is going to bring some pop into the lineup. It's going to be an even better lineup than it was last year. Wyatt Langford can replace Garver. We figured Jonah Heim is going to keep doing his thing, 95 RBI. Dolie is going to be the dude that lit up the Astros. And we just couldn't have been more wrong on all those. John says, this is a little bit of a long one, but good stuff here. Absolutely nailed it. There was no fire this year to win again after they won it all. 2010 and 11 were just totally different than this season. That team was hungry 2 years in a row. Couldn't agree more with that. There was no moves made to strengthen the team. A ton of celebrating, rightfully so. We had never won a World Series before. There was no way this team was ready to play another whole season at the level they ended in the World Series. John, I really agree. Those are well-made points. I do think it was just such a special run. Everybody enjoyed it. But then you've got to go out and back it up. And you got to set the tone, I think, with those moves in the offseason. Let's say the Rangers would have gone after a Bellinger type. Yes, you're going to go over the luxury tax, but you go out and get a Bellinger. What kind of message does that send to the clubhouse? You just won a World Series, and we're going out to get Cody Bellinger. Now, look, Belly having a decent year, 273 average, 13 bombs, 48 RBI. I mean, look, not killing it, but I'd love to have some numbers like that in the lineup. Cody Bellinger, 273, 13 bombs, 48 RBI. Would love to have that. You go out and get a guy like Belly in the offseason, yeah, you got to pay him. But what kind of message are you sending? You're sending one like, oh, okay, they want to do this again. And everybody gets a little hungrier. You let Garver go and you sign a bunch of one-year deals and you're lucky to get some overperformance from guys like Yates and Urania, et cetera. But the message, I think, was communicated in the offseason. All right, guys, you figure it out. Win another one. No extra help. And I just don't think that that was the right thing to do at all. It was a big missed opportunity, in my opinion. I got to agree, the 2010-2011 Rangers, you consider what they did in back-to-back seasons. The 2010-2011 Rangers, back-to-back years, they were hungry. They wanted it. And I think you remember the Rangers after 2010. I'm going to go ahead and look up just a couple of things while we're talking here. The 2010 World Series, obviously the Giants and the Rangers played. You had a pretty lopsided series there, 4-1. Rangers weren't extremely competitive. What did the Rangers go out and do? This is good trivia for you guys. What did the Rangers go out and do in the 2010 offseason? What did the Rangers go out and do after they lost in 2010? Who did they go out and get in the 2010 offseason? I'll give y'all a second on this one. Who'd they go out and get? Had just lost 4-1 to the Giants. None other then the Hall of Famer, first ballot, Adrian Beltre. Do you see the difference? Rangers lose the World Series in 2010, granted after a loss, right? After a loss. So the mentality is slightly different. But they go out and get Adrian Beltre after making it to the World Series the previous year. That's the type of move that would have been ideal to make after this World Series win. You just won the World Series. You've got this influx of cash. Go get a Beltre-type game changer to just rub it in people's faces. The rest of the league takes notice of that. Okay, the Rangers, they mean business. Okay, they actually want to go out and do this again. The respect level would be off the charts for a move like that. I really, really would have loved to have seen the Rangers do even something similar to what the Rangers did after 2010, going to get a Beltre type. There were guys out there, a Beltre-like impact. I really, really think that was the move to make. And you know what? They didn't make it. There were guys, Bellinger was available, right? He was a guy that I think could have made a difference. JD Martinez was available. Shoot, we talked about Tommy Pham. Tommy Pham was available. That dude could have done something in this lineup. We had other guys. We had Matt Chapman available. Matt Chapman, obviously a third baseman. You could have probably DH'd him and played him in a utility role. Matt Chapman hit 20 bombs this year so far. I mean, Matt Chapman is having a great year for the Giants. 62 RBI, 250 batting average, 20 bombs. We could have used Chapman in a DH role, but the Rangers weren't willing to make any of those moves. So please, in the offseason, make the move. Bringing this back crazy full circle, because I know I went off on that topic, back to the rotation. Rangers have a great rotation for 2025. Hopefully they can stay healthy. You got to improve the lineup. Have to improve the lineup. Let me go ahead and go back to the box score here. Lots of offers. Josh Smith was 1-for-3. Carson Kelly was 1-for-3. Josh Young also had a single. It is crazy how empty this box score is, though. I mean, it is like embarrassingly empty, y'all. It's not even worth going over. I did like to see John Gray coming out. I felt like he actually threw the ball really well. He does give up one earned run in the box score. But again, going back to the top of the ninth, Corey Seager making 30 plus mil a year. I feel like Seegs has got to make that play on that ground ball. I know it's a tough ball, but again, 30 plus mil a year, buddy. You got to make plays like that. And that would have kept a run off the board. It wouldn't have mattered for the game itself, but I think it would have made John Gray and his return from the IL look a little bit better. Tyler Mahle goes to the IL. I'm not tinfoil conspiracy theorist guy. I think the people that have been listening to me long enough know that. But I will say the one thing that I continue to scratch my head at is just all these pitcher injuries. If they are not fully evaluating the medical staff already, if there's no plans to do it in the offseason, it's criminal. I think they have to do a deep dive into the regimens that they have for the pitchers, both the throwing programs, the recovery programs, the off-season programs. I think they've almost got to throw everything on the table and just figure out what went wrong this year. I'm sorry, it's too many pitching injuries for me to say dumb luck. And at the beginning of the season, when we had that crazy rash of pitching injuries, I know I went off on the same rant. It's too many pitching injuries. It's too many. Evo, John Gray, Mahle, Dunning. I think Dunning, I read today, is another guy that they're concerned about with an injury. I'm not saying you got to fire everybody. I don't love saying things like that. But the Rangers have got to do an honest reflection with the medical staff this year. You know, throw out all the past accolades, whatever they've accomplished up to this point. The reality is there was way too many injuries this season, and it can't happen again. I feel like there has to be things that they can change and improve upon to keep pitchers more healthy. So my suggestion, take a look at whoever had the healthiest pitching staff this year and learn from them. Go figure it out. Poach one of their guys and get them to tell you all their secrets. Because these pitching injuries, it's beyond dumb luck. For me, it's something systematic that needs to be figured out. It needs to be changed. And I don't like playing the conspiracy theory guy, but it's too many injuries. It's way too many. I want them to do an honest assessment of the program, of the staff. If they're not doing that already, they are doing something extremely wrong. So hopefully next year, the Rangers and what they do with the pitchers will go a lot better than it did this year, because this is too many injuries. It's ridiculous. And the Rangers have done well to get this far into the season and not just be completely getting their butts kicked left and right. It's felt that way of late. The Rangers have fortunately gotten quite a few quality innings out of guys that you really didn't expect to give you quality innings, but something's got to change for next year. Yeah, Baseball Network. Outfield is a little bit scary. I totally agree. Infield is solid. I'm good with Young, Simi, Seager. I think Nate Lowe is definitely a question mark. But the outfield, shoot. Who's the reliable one? Langford? Probably the most reliable, but that's the guy that's hitting under 200. I mean, I feel like Langford is probably the most reliable one out there, and that is kind of scary. That's why I just don't think that they can at all settle for, let's just have the same guys out there. Yeah, let's just keep Leody out there. Whatever, he's good enough. I really hope that the Rangers upgrade the outfield position. I feel like they have to. They were just so bad this year in the outfield. I feel like you have got to upgrade that. Yeah, thanks for this comment. I appreciate it. I really do try to be balanced. It's tough after losses like tonight. You kind of just want to burn the whole thing down. But the Rangers have some bright spots for next year. But let's be real about where they're weak and what they need to improve upon. Let me keep going. Given that it's also in our minors, I'm concerned for the medical staff and conditioning personnel at all levels. Aaron, look, this is actually something that I've been noticing as well. Thank you for bringing it up. I feel like there have been. I get AAA updates often, roster updates, and obviously score updates. But it's been something that's kind of an organizational issue. And I just really hope that at minimum, again, I'm not calling for people's jobs. You got to fire people. But at minimum, evaluate and look at what other teams are doing and see if you can copy some of what the teams that have kept pitchers healthy this season have done and fix what you're doing that's clearly not working. And if we're being real, the Rangers dealt with injuries last year too. Max Scherzer, Evo had some time on the shelf. John Gray had some time on the shelf last year. It's not like this is just a one-year, one-off thing. Maybe you're going to throw back, hey, those guys are just injury prone. I don't know. It can't be everybody. It's literally everybody in the rotation. Andrew Heaney has stayed healthy. Let's run through this, right? Andrew Heaney's been healthy the whole year, correct? I don't think Heaney has had any issues. Urania has been healthy the whole year. Robertson and Yates have been healthy the entire year. Who else? I'm trying to think. It's tough. It's really tough to go through. And, you know, maybe Leclerc. I think Leclerc has been healthy the entire season. Is that it? Let me know if I missed somebody. That's pathetic. That is really pathetic. Speaking of the injury recovery stuff, Lats is actually doing a rehab stint. Although I did see that Lats got completely lit up a couple nights ago. Got like one out and gave up 5 earned runs. Jacob Lats, AAA rehab, or it might be with Frisco. Not good. Lats already is kind of a polarizing Rangers bullpen piece. Some people like him. Some people really don't. I'm probably a little bit more of the mindset that he needs another shot, but maybe just one more. I don't think he's a guy that you can keep giving endless chances to. The stuff isn't that good. It's good, but it's not that good, if you know what I mean. So I like Jacob Lats. I think he needs another shot in the bigs. I don't know how many more chances he really needs to be getting. They're going to have Chafin next year. I can't imagine they're going to let go of Andrew Chafin. They kept the club option for him. Maybe you want to go out and get another couple of lefty pieces. Who knows what the plans are. But I can't see them continuing to give chances over and over again to Jacob Lats. Hopefully that was just like a weird one-off. You're trying some things out in the rehab stint, and that's not really an accurate reflection of how his stuff is. But it wasn't pretty to see that. You want to see guys having quality outings in these rehab stints. You just do. This isn't like spring training, just like totally whatever, throw fastballs the entire time just to work on your fastball. I mean, when you go on these rehab stints, you're trying to test everything out and trying to make sure that you can compete back at a high level to make it back to the major leagues and perform when you get back there, when you're coming off your injury. So not very encouraging to see Jacob Latz getting blown up for 4 or 5 runs the other night in a minor league assignment. Natalie says, I want a fourth outfielder that can give breaks when others struggle. I'm going to take it a step further. I want a fourth outfielder that can take away playing time from people and maybe has a legitimate chance to start at one of the positions. I don't know if it's going to happen. I got to feel like they're probably going to go Langford, Carter, Dolley next year. The only way there's going to be a new face in the outfield, I think, is if somebody gets traded, and that's not going to be Carter or Langford. It might be Adolis, but I don't think we're going to see a new face starting out there. Now, I think what is ideal is a guy that can play the outfield in DH when he's not. So a Santander would be perfect. You go get Santander. He can DH. He can play right field. Beautiful. That is a guy I'd love to see them go after. I think Santander is going to be asking a fair amount of money based on the season that he's having. If you're not familiar with Anthony Santander's talents, let me give you a little bit of an insight into the kind of season that he's having right now. Anthony Santander, 37 bombs, 82 RBI, 40 walks, under 100 strikeouts. So a guy that does K, but not as frequently as other power hitters that you know. 240 batting average. I'll take a 240 average with 37 bombs all day long. It's the 240 with 10 home runs that's a killer. I'll take 240 with nearly 40 home runs. Let me keep going. Frisco for Latz and DeGrom. That makes sense. Frisco closer than Round Rock, so you keep those guys close to home. Makes sense. So hopefully Latz can bounce back. I'm really excited for DeGrom and his start on Thursday. Going to be fun to see him in a Rangers uni in September. I really hope that the rehab doesn't have any hitches in it, doesn't have any issues or flare-ups. I would love to see Jacob DeGrom go into 2024-5 offseason on a very, very high note. That would be very ideal. Now, we've kind of put a bow on the game tonight. Rangers, only 3 hits on the night. And kind of like we said last night, Corey Seager covers a multitude of sins. And he doesn't get any hits tonight. He goes 0 for Semien, 0 for as well. Semi got the golden sombrero tonight. Ouch. And Marcus had actually been having a nice little stretch of games, but Marcus is 303 in his last 7. Can't really get on Semi. 254 in his last 30. 250 in his last 15. But Marcus does take the golden sombrero, 0 for 4 with 4 Ks tonight. But this kind of proves what we said last night. This team is really reliant on the big hit. Really reliant on the big Corey Seager hit. And if Corey isn't hitting homers, the team is struggling to win ball games. If the big boppers aren't getting theirs, this team is going to struggle to win. So I really do think next year, if you can get a Santander, great. But if you can't, go get guys that can put the ball in play and aren't heavy strikeout guys, aren't feast or famine guys up at the dish. I want to see guys that can have quality at bats, take walks, Get on base any means necessary. That's what I would like to see. By the way, I'm going to see if I can get some MLB team stats up here while we're going. Let me see if I can pull up a few numbers here. So let's see where the Rangers are at in walks this year. Let's see how they rank. Because look, ultimate truth serum. I'm going off about how the Rangers don't take enough walks. Maybe they actually do take quite a few. So let's take a look. Rangers are about middle of the pack in walks. A lot of those are Corey Seager. A big reason why they're middle of the pack is Seager. Not a lot of other guys. I'd have to look and see what Seager's walk totals is this year. Just tell you how many of those are his. So Corey Seager, 52 of those walks are his. I don't know if this includes intentional walks. It might not. Rangers, middle of the pack with walks. You got the Yankees with 520. Obviously, a lot of that is Judge and Soto. Dodgers at 471. I do think the Rangers need to improve and be better at taking walks, better eye up at the plate. They have a very aggressive team. It might take a little bit of an overhaul with the hitting approach. Maybe that's something that they can address in the offseason. but I would like to see this team take more walks. They're very aggressive. They're hyper aggressive to the point where you're swinging at a ton of first pitches. And you know what? For Corey Seager, that works. Because Corey Seager, most times, if he's swinging at a first pitch, he's going to make some good contact. Corey Seager leads the league with first pitch home runs. Leads the league. So Corey Seager, have at it. Swing at every first pitch, dude. You've earned it. Some of the other guys that are doing the same thing as Seegs and not being nearly as successful, I think the Rangers have to change a bit of their approach here. Now, I'm not saying go full on Moneyball. And John, by the way, appreciate the support. Thanks for watching. Thanks for the comment. I'm not saying go full on Moneyball, but what I am saying is the Rangers have to do a better job getting on base, have to do a better job in that department. 100%. Baseball Network, we'll see you tomorrow, perhaps. Have a good night. Appreciate you tuning in. So let me look at some other stats here. Rangers, home runs. They are, it looks like, 16th, so middle of the pack. Stolen bases, the Rangers are near the bottom. I think that would be a huge area to improve upon. The Washington Nationals have 170 stolen bases. The Rangers have 65. I mean, look, I know that obviously the caught stealings are going to be higher. Rangers have been caught 20 times, Nationals 60. But look, 170 stolen bases for the top team in baseball, and the Rangers have 110 less than that, 105 less than that. I think the Rangers have to do a better job on the base pass, getting on base via the walk, and then stealing bases as well. Let me keep going here. Let's look at extra base hits. Rangers are last in the league in doubles. Dead last in doubles. I'm not going to look at triples. I don't really think that that's super worthwhile, but doubles last in the league. Let's go for hits. Let's just check this out. Rangers are 16th in hits. So we can hit singles, middle of the pack. Doubles, Rangers are last in the league. Woo! And let's go OBP, last one, which kind of ties into walks a little bit. The Rangers are 22nd in on-base percentage. So I think that does make my point quite well. The Rangers need to improve getting on base next year. All right, so the hitting coach was let go last year. Huh? I'm not up on all the Rangers coaching transactions, but if that's true, interesting. I do think the Rangers have to look at their hitting approach in the offseason. You're taking, you know, a low number of walks. You have the lowest amount of doubles in the league. I really do feel like the Rangers need to make a shift in the offseason. I don't know if somebody needs to lose a job. I don't like calling for things like that, but they need a change. Something's got to be different next year. They've got to get on base more, got to be more active on the base paths, and they have to be able to drive the ball in the gaps better. Whether you're hitting a home run or hitting a double, you can't be dead last in doubles and expect things to go well. All right, let's look at tomorrow. We're going about up to the hour mark here. Looks like we just hit it. Let's go to tomorrow's game. Not even going to bother with the AL West roundup. Houston, all them. Let me just see who won, who lost. I'm not even going to go through the standings, though. Houston did lose 6-5. So Rangers don't lose any ground in the division. And the Mariners are up 3-0 right now. Not really worth going through the standings, though. So let's lock in on tomorrow's game. So day game tomorrow, I believe it is a 1:35 Texas time start. So 11:35 for me out in Vegas. Herman going tomorrow for Pittsburgh. Looks like he has 3 games under his belt this year. Domingo Herman, kind of a controversial guy. I don't know if I want to get into this topic tonight, but it does shock me that a guy like Domingo Herman is in the league while a guy like Trevor Bauer is being blackballed. I mean, look, everybody messes up in their life. I'm not here to crucify people for past mistakes, but Domingo Herman, domestic violence, alcohol abuse, and there's guys who have done a lot less not getting chances in baseball. Kind of shocking to me. But Domingo Herman threw a perfect game for the Yankees last summer, I believe. I don't think that I'm mistaken on that. So we'll see what he has. He has a 3 ERA in three games pitched. Looks like he's been coming out of the bullpen. I don't know if he's going to be in an opener type role for the Pirates tomorrow or not, but we'll see what happens. But Domingo Herman will be tossing it for the Pirates, and Andrew Heaney is going to be throwing for the Rangers. Would be nice to win a series going into the off day on Thursday. Andrew Heaney did get hit around a little bit in his last start versus Minnesota. Did strike out 8. I think that the home run that he gave up, believe it was a 3-run bomb, really was the difference in that start for him. Otherwise, he actually threw the ball quite well. 8 Ks, only 1 walk. So the numbers in his last 7 aren't pretty. He is 3.89 ERA over his last 15 starts. I know that's a long period of time, but I like Andrew Heaney to have a nice game tomorrow. Let's see if there's any numbers with opponent batting average to look at. I would imagine the Rangers have some numbers against Herman. Don't know how many Pirates are going to have numbers against Heaney. So Doley is 1-for-5 against Herman. Grossman, don't think we're going to see him tomorrow. 2-for-6 with a homer. Jonah Heim is 2-for-4 with a bomb. Jenko and Young are both 0-for-2. Nate Lowe is 1-for-6. Steegs is 0-for-3 against Herman, the probable starter for the Pirates tomorrow. Marcus Semien looks like he is batting 6-for-16 with a home run. Josh Smith 0-for-2. Leody 1-for-2. A little bit of a mixed bag there. Small sample size. Semien with the most ABs against Herman with 16. The next guy, Grossman, with 6. The next guy, Nate Lowe, also with 6. And then Doley with 5. Everybody else 4 or lower. Bart is 0-for-4 against Andrew Heaney in his career, the catcher for the Pirates. De La Cruz is 1-for-5. Grandal, 2-for-6. Joe, first baseman. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Probably not. But he's 0-for-2. Kiner Falefa is, I believe, 4-for-21 or 5-for-21. Good to see IKF. I think that the Rangers did well to move on from him. But look, IKF won a gold glove with the Rangers. If you play for the Rangers, I've always got a special place in my heart for you, unless you're a trash talker after you leave the team. But Kiner Falefa, good to see him. Still in the game, still making money. Got to be happy for him. Michael Taylor, 4-for-9 with 2 bombs. That's a guy to circle tomorrow. And then Telez is 1-for-5 with a bomb as well. So maybe look out for Taylor and Telez tomorrow. Other than that, Andrew Heaney has had some success against the Pirates in his career. And that's going to be a day game tomorrow. Again, 1:35 Texas time start. Let me see. This guy really helps Hires and helps Semien in the World Series. Oh, you're talking about the guy that they let go? I'm going to have to dig into that a little bit more. I can't say that I'm super well read on that whole situation. So I might have to look into that after the live tonight, but I appreciate you bringing it up. I think the Rangers, just bottom line, have got to evaluate everything from an offensive perspective and standpoint in the offseason. Evaluate everything. Same thing with the medical staff and the recovery and the prevention, injury prevention, all that stuff. Put it all on the table. This is definitely an offseason of reflection and hopefully an offseason of action for the Texas Rangers. Well, all right, y'all. Let me check TikTok here, see if I missed any comments. I don't think that I did, but I do appreciate all y'all tuning in. I do want to remind everybody, I know I've been making this announcement. I'm going to continue to do so over the next couple of weeks. So hang in there if you are a longtime listener or an every night listener. But I am going to be going live once football season starts after every Longhorns and after every Cowboys game. You guys know, Ride On Rangers, we put a huge emphasis on the Texas Rangers during baseball season, but we cover everything sports when it comes to the Texas teams we love. So we're talking Texas Longhorns, Texas Rangers, Dallas Mavericks, Dallas Cowboys. So we will be going live after all of those games this fall. Excited about that. Hope you'll continue to join us. If you ever want to talk, you know, Rangers, if I'm doing Longhorns, I'll make sure I get to you eventually. We'll try and keep things focused. I am going to do separate lives for each of those. That way you have an opportunity to see the headline, see if you want to join in or not. Obviously, I'd love to have you, but I understand we're not all fans of all the same teams across all sports, but would love to have you in football season after Texas Longhorns games and after Dallas Cowboys games. Should be a lot of fun. And hey, if you know somebody that is a Longhorns, Cowboys, Rangers, Mavericks fan, send them my way. We are going to be going live after a lot of those games in season, chewing it, chewing on stuff, chalking it up, doing all that, and having some fun post-game analysis after all of those teams play on Saturdays and Sundays, respectively. So thank you so much. If you're not following the channel, not subscribed to the account yourself, would love if you hit that follow or subscribe button so you can stay up to date every time we go live, every time we post our latest and greatest content. Thank you again so much for supporting Ride On Rangers. All right, y'all, we're going to call it a night. Hope you guys have a great rest of your Tuesday and a good Wednesday tomorrow. Probably not going to be going live immediately after the game tomorrow. It will probably be a early evening live, if I had to guess. Got some work tomorrow, so after I get off, I'll probably get home, chill out, and then get things set up. So not going to be live immediately after the game tomorrow. I'll maybe try and put out a post of when exactly I plan to go, so that way you'll know and maybe be able to make time for it if you can, but not right after the game tomorrow. Hopefully the Rangers can get a series win. Andrew Heaney on the bump against Domingo Germán. Can the Rangers get that first series win in a long time? It feels like forever. I think it's been about 7 or 8 series. Hope tomorrow is the day. And as I always say to end every show, God bless and go Rangers.